Bridge and Spider for breakfast. Pod podcast. Whatever that means.
Six. He hasn't touched the ground.
Yeah, how's this? Amazing when you look at both teams. And it doesn't matter if you love your AFL, if you love your NRL. We both follow, most people will follow both codes because we really want to follow our local teams.
That's right.
The Gold Coast Suns or the Gold Coast Titans. And interesting, this is how close both teams are in the same position. They're pretty much in the same boat, yet just playing a different code. Mm. Looking at the Gold Coast Titans at the moment, they're 11th on the ladder. So they're outside the eight. They're playing a side that's one below them, the Warriors, and they're playing Saturday afternoon. Now, they've just signed Jarryd Hayne. Jarryd Hayne said, yep, he's going to stay on for next year, which is going to be fantastic. But they're two games outside the eight, and they need to win eight of their last 12 games to make the finals.
Oh.
So they've got to win a lot of their games, eight out of the last 12.
Right.
To make finals. The Gold Coast Suns, exactly the same position. This weekend, they sit just outside the eight on 14. Mm. So they're only two games outside the eight, same as the Gold Coast Titans.
Yep.
They play Hawthorn, who are one side below them, like the Titans are playing the Warriors. And they too have just signed, well, Steve May will sign with a football club, which will be fantastic. Just as important as Jarryd Hayne to the Gold Coast Titans is Steve May to the Gold Coast Suns. The best backman in the competition, Steve May, at the moment. So,
really?
Yeah, fantastic for the Suns, and all reports are that he will stay. And they are, as I said, two games out of the eight, and they've got 12 games left, and they've got to win eight. So both of them are exactly the same right now. And 6 p.m. on Saturday night, we'll know which side's going to continue on and make finals because they've both got to win this weekend.
Yep.
If they don't win, their finals chances are pretty much very, very limited.
How hard is that from somebody who played? Have you been in that position where you know you cannot get in the eight, but you still have that many games in front of you? How do you keep it up?
That's the thing. They've got their chance. As soon as you know mathematically you can't make the eight, it is mentally hard to get yourself going. And that's when they get rid of the old blokes, young blokes start playing, and they forget about it.
So
But they've still got a chance. But there's only one way. We'll know by 6 o'clock which team is, and it could be both teams still a chance to make the finals.
Mm.
But if you listened, and the Gold Coast Suns had a fantastic win over the weekend, and they beat West Coast Eagles, who are a good side.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was only on the back of one thing.
Mm.
And that was some words of wisdom. There's words of wisdom that come down, and every team needs it every now and then.
Mm.
And I was fortunate enough to have a chat to Cade Collegiasny, who plays for the Gold Coast Suns. And this is my speech to him on Friday, which I'm sure, well, honestly, he obviously took back to the football club. And either the Suns heal now as a team or you will die as individuals.
Oh.
That's football. That's all it is.
Oh, Cade.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon you should be a motivational speaker, mate. I'm pretty impressed.
So he's pretty impressed. Hey, so there we go. They've got 12 games left, the Suns and the Titans. So Neil Henry, Rocket Eid, I've got 12 speeches ready.
I'm Alinta Munro. I live at Currumbin Waters, and my son is George Munro.
And how old is George?
He's 10 months old, but was 3 months early, so he should only be 7 months old. He was 1.080 grams, so just a smidge over a kilo.
Did you have any complications on the lead up before the birth?
Yeah, I had bleeding the whole pregnancy, and then when I was 24 weeks pregnant, my waters broke, and so I was in hospital from 24 weeks pregnant.
How terrified were you at that stage?
It was a bit surreal, not really believing that it had happened because you don't want to think of the outcomes that could, the possibility. And then they start talking to you about the chances your baby has of surviving and they're not very good. And you kind of just want to stop talking to anyone about it and just hope that everything goes well.
Don't give up on me, won't give up on you.
So at this stage, of course, you're completely bonded with your child, you know, you're growing with your child. And what were they saying when it came down to the odds?
Well, my son's a bit of a special situation. He also has quite a severe cardiac condition called tetralogy of Fallot. That was picked up at 20 weeks pregnant. And so he needs full-on open-heart surgery. And so when my waters broke at 24 weeks, they pretty much said there was no chance that a baby with his cardiac condition would survive if he was born at that gestation. So until I got to meet with the cardiologists up at the Mater, they had given me zero chance of his survival at 24 weeks.
What kind of equipment straight off was needed as soon as Bubba was born?
He was quite sick when he was born, and he needed a ventilator that's high oscillation ventilator, so it gives him 600 breaths a minute because his lungs were really immature from his waters breaking so early. He needed something called nitric, which is a gas to help his lungs bring in the oxygen. He needed a million machines attached to him. He had so many IVs, he had arterial lines, he had lines going into his umbilical cord, he had so many monitors all over his little body. So he needed lots and lots and lots of equipment to be able to stay alive. It was awful just watching him in a box, have things poke and prod him and not be able to hold him through it. But then you have a love-hate relationship with that box, because that box is what's keeping him alive and keeping him warm and keeping him safe from bugs. But that box is what keeps him away from you as well. I just blew my mind every single day being in the neonatal intensive care, what the equipment could do to keep babies alive.
So when was there hope? How many weeks before it was like, hang on, we're okay, we're getting clear, you know, we survived another night. Was it an hourly thing, a daily thing, a weekly thing?
It went between being hourly and daily and weekly. For the first 3 days, it was definitely hourly. He was very sick. And then he sort of turned a corner and was 3 days old. He started improving. And then it went to daily, weekly. And then when he was 9.5 weeks old, he got incredibly sick again and developed something called pulmonary hypertension and went right back to the full life support again. And then it became hourly. He was having codes called on him multiple times a day and had lots of people needing to help him stay alive.
Oh, honey, so you had the hope, you had that everything was okay for baby George, and then in an instant that was taken away from you again.
Yeah, it just can happen so quickly with babies that are born sick or premature. They can just turn from being quite well to needing lots of help again, and it was just awful.
Home time, I'm getting ready for a long night. They say you never miss it till it's gone.
And you were told again that the life expectancy might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be a week at this stage, again.
Yeah, that was a moment that I will never forget. I asked a nurse, well, he was being resussed, and the nurse was sitting beside me with her arm around me, and I said to her, is he dying? And she said, maybe. And I think she couldn't even lie and say, no, he's going to be fine, because nobody knew. No one could tell if he would.
How do you even get through that stage?
I don't know. You just have to. You have no option. You just look at them and think, you're fighting, so I'm going to fight with you.
There's a hole in the middle of my heart again. Can we start again? Can we start again?
How much is George your little hero?
Oh. He's just the most amazing boy, and he's the happiest kid. Like, I don't understand how someone who's been through so much can just be so happy all the time. He's so inspiring. He's just amazing. He really is.
So how's George now? He's good?
He's crawling. He's getting into everything. He's happy. He's a normal 7-month-old baby. He's just incredible. He needs open heart surgery, unfortunately, because of his tetralogy of Fallot's. He needs that, and that will be next Monday up at Lady Salento.
Is it an incredible... There is equipment to do open heart surgery on a baby.
Oh, gosh, I know. With how small their hearts must be, and they can fix them. Like, it's just... I'll forever be grateful for the amount of technology that we have these days to save these babies.
And when it comes to the nurses here, what would you like to say to all the beautiful nurses, because seriously, their emotional support means more than anything, doesn't it?
Oh, the Tweed nurses are just amazing. They're my heroes. I love them so much. They're all my family now. They helped me get through so much after we transferred back to Tweed. They just, you know, were my shoulder to cry on and hug and rejoice and be happy and just, you know, helped me.
If there's a message to anyone out there who's thinking of donating to Gold FM's Give Me Five for Kids, raising this money we need for this vital equipment, what would you like to say to everyone?
Oh, do it. It's got to be the most incredible foundation to donate to, because they support families through the darkest moments of their life. Like, no one wants to watch their child struggle, and knowing that there's not equipment available and that could be all it is to help your child is just an extra monitor or something. You just need to understand that it's just so important to families going through it that there's everything available to help their child.
Life is a journey where you stumble and fall, but I'm okay when I lie down in your arms.
You know, we really do love our jobs here at work.
Yes.
And recently celebrating my 10 years, and someone asked me, I did a little speech, and I said, you know what, you take radio away from me, I don't know who I am anymore. It's such a big part of who I am.
Yeah. Yep.
And interestingly, the weird thing is a lot of people in radio actually love the whole radio tag, the whole don't you know who I am.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I'm not one of those people. I don't really understand that. I don't get that side of it.
Mm.
Because as I always say, I get paid to talk a lot of crap, really. It doesn't make me any special. It doesn't make me any different. I don't get it when, yes, there's photos of us out there and on billboards, wherever. I still...
Taxis.
It's like I'm looking at someone else. It's weird. So
yeah,
I don't really buy into the whole, that side of it.
No.
And I was at the Pine Shopping Centre on Friday. I was getting my nails done for the races I didn't end up going to. The dress didn't fit, that
just
whole
in
other
case.
Story.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ran into a lovely listener and I love it. It's awesome. And I didn't know this girl, and she walked past me and she just go, I just heard this, I love you.
Oh.
And I stopped. I said, hi, how are you? Wow. Sorry, was that directed at me? So I'm going to sound like an idiot now if it wasn't. She goes, yes, Bridge, it's you. I said, oh, wow, that's really nice. Have I met you before? And she said, no, I just wanted you to know that I love you.
Oh, that's lovely.
You know what? Because we are in a little room, and sometimes we get different feedback from different bosses, and you just sometimes don't know. Mm. And to hear it from people who are fans, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And so I'm more than happy to spend time with you. It's you know, lovely. So we're having a great chat. And I said, oh, that's really nice. She goes, oh, just your stories. And, you know, I love Spider too. I love Al. I love the show. And, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is just pour it on me.
Yeah.
Compliment sandwich, but it was just every layer was a compliment.
Yeah.
Go.
Then there was the double-edged
sword
at the end.
Oh, okay.
She goes, you know, I love your stories. I said, why's that? She goes, because I just sit back and I say to my partner, thank God I don't live her life. What a life are you for? Does that honestly all happen to you? Are you really being single for that long? I mean, seriously, how does that much crap happen to one person? Seriously, I love you, but geez, I'm happy with my life. And then she walked off. I'm like, I really don't know what to do with that.
Virgin Spider for breakfast. Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.